Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're in the midst of the adventure called the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold.
That's great.
It is great. And we're, each time we do it, it is an adventure because each and every one of us has changed. We've gone through changes. And I think George and I have talked about that over the years. I don't know how many times each of us has read through HBM, George, but each time it's a different adventure, isn't it?
Hey, I'm actually in the middle of reading it right now, and yes, it is. It's nice to see the reference points change.
Exactly. And part of it is that we're able to understand the material a lot better. Now, here's an interesting thing. So, I'm going to comment on this a little bit today, and I know that we're going to read something in a minute, but that when you have a document that you read, and you read over and over and over again, and it's fruitful for you, it indicates that it is it's a true document. It's a true teaching document. It's a living document.
Yeah.
Because those of us that work with it, as we change, the document grows in a sense. The depth keeps revealing itself, and as we get strong enough, we're able to absorb it. So that's the case here in the ABD Guidebook. We've been through many, many of these of the books so far. And as George is telling us, he's reading back to the Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus. The next book we're going to be doing, and probably it'll be about a month or so is what I imagine,
mm-hmm.
Pat, is The Invocation of Presence by E.J. Gold. And this can be ordered through Gateway's Books and Tapes. When I actually went on there this morning, actually, I couldn't find this
mm-hmm.
as a book to click on.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going, Ivan is not with us
tonight. Yes, not tonight.
And next time I see him, I'll ask him or others to post this particular book
put an icon
on Gateway's Books and Tapes. But if you'd like to order a copy, it'll take a couple of weeks to get to you because we have to make them up. You could send me an email, post it in the log if you're online, and we'll get you a copy. It's not that long, but it's
weighty.
Let's just say that it will reveal much to us. And some of us have been playing with this for
decades.
Let's see, 35 years. Okay. And so it's an important book. And in Human Biological Machine and Practical Work on Self, E.J. refers to the concept of sensing. And these are very important things. This is the heart of it, okay? And we're going to get in that. And the reason we want to do it together is because we want to develop a terminology
mm-hmm.
with our common workers that it makes it a pragmatic event.
Yeah, we're looking for the practices here and for the overlapping practices and for the context that all of this material provides for us when we are doing our practice.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dave, I want to just say I really support you on the selection of Invocation of Presence. I think it's a terrific complement to what the time we have been spending on the ABD and the ABD guidebook, because God knows we're being told we're going to pass through transit, and the most important thing to have is personal presence. So to review that material, I think it would be an invaluable next step.
Good. Thank you.
Ron, I was going to ask, because I would expect that you would tie it into some of our current, what we're doing, like we have the ashram that we're practicing in, and just look in those days. Well, actually, in those days, we had secret talks on voluntary evolution, which was about making work businesses.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but that was always so ethereal, I think, for so many years. And so, I think that this. And tying this into a lot of our what we're doing is going to be helpful.
It'll be very helpful. And it's because we're getting more accomplished ourselves that we're able to interpret the gifts we've been giving through these writings, and then we can help us interpret it in a pragmatic sense so we understand what it's like to be a voyager on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, okay?
That is one of the better ways of looking at this whole long history of looking at each of the texts on their own and then in relation not only to each other, but also in relation to the current activities that he is providing for us right now. So when we develop a greater foundation through our own personal efforts and also with the kind of group work that we've been doing together here, we have a common vocabulary, we have a common experience,
right,
and we have shared communication about some of our comprehension, understanding, however you want to put that, you know, our acquired wisdom. So that's just, you know, it's the building of the knowledge base.
Now, I've been sitting here for 2 years now with Pat as a,
2 years.
Oh. We've been doing this for over 2 years.
Okay.
ABD was over 60 weeks and we're in the 57th week here.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2 years, and I've been fortunate enough to sit with Pat, who has an extensive, what's the right word?
Love.
Love is the basis of it, Pat, but it's like when somebody picks something up and you immediately begin to see they're a genius at it.
Oh.
What's that?
Affinity?
Not affinity. I'm thinking they're like a prodigy, like a child prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat came to us. Pardon?
Talent.
He's certainly a talent. Is that phone on?
No.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Oh, you didn't?
There you go.
I didn't want to screw up.
And that's why
okay.
So it's a talent, but it's it's like the great athletes or things like that, that suddenly someone's just, that's their skill set. And Pat has that in the area of being an assistant helping people who are entering into transit because she sees it so clearly. And so what we want to do is develop, we're just scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just scratching the surface. Remember that.
Yes.
And I think we're about to enter in a period of time now where we're going to, even more is going to become available to us.
Absolutely.
And so we are here, we're on the cusp of that, and I think we need this next book, The Invocation of Presence, to help us do it. But we're going to be discovering some interesting things in the next year, Pat.
Oh, okay, I'm with you on this.
I'm glad you are.
I'm with you on this.
I'm so glad.
Now, I have to stick something in here that might seem like it's coming out of the blue if you don't have this particular aspect of the teachings that EJ has offered for the last many decades. There is a textbook published under the name Joyous Childbirth. It has also appeared as Manual for Conscious Natural Childbirth. And the version that I knew when it was first being written was called Natural Childbirth at Home. And that book was written by both EJ and his wife, Sybelle Gold. And it's from 1974. And in that text only, as far as I know, and I've researched pretty thoroughly, there is a short essay, and it is called The Three Conscious Acts of Humanity, a commentary by E.J. Gold. Now, if any of you have heard this before, it's okay to hear it again.
Yes, it is.
But for those of you for whom it is the first time you're hearing it, it is actually 3 pages long. I will not be reading the whole essay, but I'm referencing it for you in particular as we work into the next last section of the Books of the Dead in this particular version, the American Book of the Dead Guidebook. Here he starts. There are only 3 acts of man that can be done consciously, and all 3 of these have been destroyed in ordinary humanity through avoidance. What are the 3 conscious acts, and what is the nature of the avoidance? First conscious act is to give birth and to be born consciously, the act of birth. Second conscious act is the act of sex. This, again, when not performed for one's own amusement, is a conscious enactment of a conscious drama. The third act is the act of dying. This can be the most important of all, and everyone should know how to die. But again, this is destroyed, spoiled as a conscious act by the introduction of drugs and artificial devices to prolong the process of dying by stimulating dead organs and thus bypassing the real moment of death.
Interesting.
The American Book of the Dead and or Press, January 1976. There are certain things that these acts have in common. They are all done consciously, as deliberate and exact acts. Intentional action is a particular feature of a conscious act. The impulse to destroy these acts and degenerate them into unconscious action derives from the desire of people to go around rather than through these experiences.
Hmm.
And the means to avoid these experiences have been provided by so-called medical science. These 3 acts are so important to humanity that its continued existence depends on carrying them out properly. I believe we've heard this theme before.
We'll hear it again tonight.
But they have been suppressed because it is easier to remain ignorant about the significance of these acts, these 3 acts. The conscious performance of these 3 acts is how we pay our debt to nature. How can this debt be paid if the means of paying the debt are destroyed by modern civilization? They must be restored if humanity is to survive. This is 1974.
He's a good writer. I mean, just a fine writer at that time. Now, when we were doing practical work on self, we had an online course on Sundays that we did it. And prior to that, we had a pickup class, is what I call it.
Oh.
Almost every morning we were reading various things. And many of us got enamored with the very last chapter of the book called The Last Hour. of life, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in it, there's this unusual phraseology about paying your debt.
Yep.
You know, because, and there's a series of exercises, and I could never grab what was meant by paying your debt. But now, I got a hint. That's how we pay our debt to great nature, is us
doing it deliberately,
consciously,
yeah, not avoiding it.
all of what we're doing, the work with death and dying, the work as a reader, a practitioner, which it's, we're going to need to do the practitioner's course again, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But all of it is, and then the work with studying the various books that we've done, they all begin to be woven together,
mm-hmm,
as a single fabric that we present to the world. And we strengthen the fabric until it becomes, you know, a robe of many colors.
Now, I'm just going to branch out just slightly here when you bring this up, because it ties in with one of my favorite personal practices, which is singing. And I've been singing my whole life. And I've had a lot of training, all kinds of it. And I've done a lot of performing. And in the last number of years, we've been very fortunate in the community to have someone who is qualified and willing and agreeing to run a choir for us. And Bali and Matthias moved here, I believe it's 17 or 18 years ago. So they've been here with us for a long time, and pretty much as soon as they got here, Bali offered to run a choir. So we've had a choir actively part of the community life for that period of time, and before that I had been in many other choirs. But just in the last 2 days, I go to a choir on Monday nights and Tuesday afternoons. Just in the last 2 days, and I'm 66, so I have been singing at least publicly for 60 years, because I did my first solo when I was 6 in church. I just got some linkage in the last 2 days with this experience that, and it's one that EJ talked about decades ago, which I somehow ignored or just couldn't take in, that the state of the breath is the state of the being, that breath indicates where the attention is going. And we had a number of breathing exercises that went along with the natural childbirth practice and, of course, the conscious dying practices, which I've learned and taught. And I didn't relate those two parts until we did a specific activity in choir, which allowed breath and sound to be interdependently observed. Hmm. And I'll do it, not that it's going to make any sense, but just because it indicates this building of a practice, and then all of a sudden you get linkage,
yeah,
the weaving, right. That's what we're talking about. So the exercise is to make a sound which starts with a T and goes to an S and provides resistance behind the mouth, so you have a very fine, small, narrow hole that you're trying to blow through like you're blowing a clarinet or something. Then you put the sound over it. You can separate sound and breath. And you can mingle sound and breath. You can have one or the other or both. And you can have your attention on one or the other. Now, that provided me with a mind-blowing change of state, where I had a lot of linkage up with prior breathing, singing experiences that just kind of went in to the body, and now all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm ready. So when we work with the books of the dead, it is cumulative.
Yeah.
It is not linear. I've been thinking about this a lot.
Correct.
Because of that conversation with Linda and Valerie and Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not necessarily something that you will notice. But what you do notice is something that you can pay attention to, whatever level it is, saying it aloud, reading it to another, you know, being here on Wednesday nights. And that builds the capacity for the next skill level. So I just want to say, in this particular arena that we share, we have all the ground level work for us to make a practice that is usable for each of us. And now I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I'm done.
So let's take a quick look at book 20. Okay, do you have your book there?
I have
it's,
my book.
How are we doing over there, Dan? Do we have anybody online?
No comment.
Okay, so
thank you.
Enter into there also that the next book is going to be called The Invocation of Presence, just so they can visually see it as well. Okay. So what we find, yeah, that's good. Yeah, she should have it.
Adding extra copies today.
Good.
So we could all have.
And the more we do this, the more we're going to see that everything connects to everything. And it's a platitude in a certain way, but we also see it in a very pragmatic way as we actually work our way through this material. This is one more astonishing book 20, and what I'd like to do is read through it. If that's all we can do tonight,
yes,
is do that.
That would
we're
going to
do it. I have comments, but the most important thing I think is
just
that we read.
Reading it is terrific. And if we could have the phone go around the room so we can have the other readers, if you're willing. How are you feeling about that? Well, I guess you're busy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll just do it.
We'll do it.
We'll do it. And it's.
Probably easier this way because we'll back and forth quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to make sure we cover all of the text.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start.
Please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and begin. The 20th book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Basir. 1. I am he who sees not through the eyes, but through divine knowledge alone. There is no limit to my seeing, and no sight which escapes my divine eye.
2. And in the world of transit, there are 3 different types of perception or awareness. And in the first stage, at the point of creation, the visions may be treated exactly as they appear to be.
3. And in the second stage, the point of destruction of the constructed formation of consciousness, the visions will also behave as if true, and they will conform to their appearances.
4. But in the third stage, creating the absence of the creation, the visions cannot be trusted to behave as they appear, because they have been created to obscure or disguise their reality.
5. And there was a hungry man, he found a leg of lamb, but as he was about to eat it, Kadir, the green guide, came to him and told him to mark it with a cross. And the next day he found a cross marked upon his own arm. In the same way, you cannot trust the visions of the third stage.
Six, and in order to avoid being reborn in the worlds of matter and space, you must now recognize the perceptions you see before you as in reality a shining and luminous void, and thus become aware of the real meaning behind the images that you see now before you.
Seven, and you will feel as if you are being hunted down by fierce animals or by a man who is clouded to your sight, and you shall wish to seek refuge.
Eight, and he who knows the visualization, he shall transform the hunter once again into the benevolent guide of the transit world, and he will see the guide as a form of his own consciousness without any real nature of its own.
Nine, and he will let the vision of the guide dissolve slowly from the edges inward, and he will meditate upon what has been left after the image is gone, and he will pray in this way with me.
Ten, now that the state of becoming and rebirth is upon me, I concentrate my attention without distraction and striving to maintain the results of awakening. I close the door to rebirth, and without resistance, I do not enter. And this is the time for pure effort and knowledge, abandoning all desire and jealous nature. I meditate upon the guide and on his nature, which is my own, the nature of the essence of the void.
11. And now you are upon the great threshold between involution and evolution, between the high and the low. And if you fall into sleep now, even for a single moment, you shall be reborn without choice.
12. And if your consciousness is concentrated upon the nature of the form of the guide of the world of transit, and upon the teaching, liberation can be attained even now, although all opportunity seems to have been lost. And that completes this reading of the 20th book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul-Basir. It's one of the more optimistic books. Come on. What are we, like two books before the end, and it's still throwing out the lifelines? Here, here, just concentrate. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it.
This is like the cheerleader coming along and saying, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, when I read through this, there was a couple of things, but I want to start on 9.
Mm-hmm.
and I mean, actually on 10,
mm-hmm.
9 and 10,
mm-hmm.
which kind of work together. And I read it for the first time, and it goes, and then you're going to do this prayer with me, right?
That's right.
And first of all, it catches my attention with me.
Yeah, who's talking?
Okay.
Yep.
With me.
Yep.
And so the big guy's around.
Yep.
And he says, you do this, I'll be there right next to you, buddy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
And then I'm reading through this next verse, and 10, and suddenly it hits me. This is, what is a prayer? What is a prayer but a formula?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a formula.
Yeah.
That is being given to us. It's formulaic in that it's saying, okay, here you are. Do this.
Step one.
And the difference between that and prayer as I grew up was that in prayer as I grew up, I was beseeching
yes.
the greater.
Yes.
It was outside me.
Right.
And here, this literature is telling me, this author is saying to us, you're going through this.
Yes.
I am going through this.
Yes. And I am with you.
And I am with you. And where do you find this? Where else are you going to find?
There are some places, but in general, the consensus is that you go through death alone, and your experience is one of despair would be putting it mildly, tearing your hair out more
yeah.
likely, you know, and this actually states very clearly, not necessarily, there's a few other options, here's how you can approach it. Now, who's Ulbas here, by the way? Just could you name it?
There's a comment from Sean's son. Wow, I could put myself easily into the reading. Thanks for that delivery.
You are so welcome.
Good.
Thank you.
From who? Johnson?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Whoa.
Goodness.
It made you drop your mic.
It did. Yeah, and that's a good point, Sean, because there's a potency in the vibratory offerings. We're required, one way to penetrate this is to read it. In other words, right now, some of us are reading these words.
Yeah, we're doing this.
We're reading the words.
Yeah.
We read the word da-da-da-da-da-da, like I was doing in the last few days. But then there's the reading it out loud part.
Yes.
That takes more of your being to do that. And then finally, there's being read to.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, EJ sometimes does the didgeridoo.
Oh, yes.
Healing. Vibratory thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been here for those
yeah.
morning.
Oh, yeah.
And it just fills the air in a certain way. So when you read, you're emitting that, and when you allow yourself to be read to, this is where we get into this concept that I have of active surrender. You surrender
mm-hmm.
being, in a sense, penetrated
yes.
by that vibratory force.
That's right. You take it in.
You allow yourself.
Yes.
And
now,
so,
one more
mm-hmm.
part about this,
yeah.
just in reference to the whole breathing and sound and singing and all of that kind of thing, there's a verb use of the word voice, which means voicing, as in stating aloud.
To give voice to.
To give voice to.
Nice.
And voicing requires expenditure of your energy, so the interface is between the voice, the breath, your effort, Oh, and one other part. Matthias was informing me yesterday that the lungs are the organ where spirit externally is inhaled and cleansed and released out of the body. So it is the medium in our body, it is the membrane of our body that encourages the flow of spirit. So that's with breath. That's the lungs. That's the breathing mechanism. He went further in this, which I'm not doing now, but just voicing, speaking aloud, sounding. We're talking about adding elements of energetics here, reverberations, harmonics, all that kind of stuff. You know it yourself. If you say this and striving to maintain, you just say that aloud wherever you are right now, and striving to maintain. It's different than just hearing me say it or reading it in a book.
Right.
The results of awakening. Driving means to make efforts.
On the Wings of Chaos site,
Al-Basir?
It's called Al-Basir the Seer.
The Seer, yes.
And that's from the 99 names of God on the Wings of Chaos. It's the very last entry under ABD Guidebook. Thank you for looking that up.
Also, Sean asks, could you comment on what the visualizations are? Love being read to. Thanks.
I'll tell you what popped in my mind, Pat and Sean, is no. Is not to verbalize it. To allow yourself to be touched by the visualization. And I mean by the vibratory voicing of this teaching, allow it to penetrate you and then come back and tell me what was the visualization.
Well, there's two parts to this, at least two parts. I agree with David in a certain extent, which is the question is a valid one, but it helps us to develop our shared group experience by keeping our exact personal response, which means our mental construct and our conditioning, etc., mostly separate from the reading of the text. You don't want to mix those two experiences. So the sounding of the text and the reading of the text or the hearing of the text has as part of it your individual visualization experiences or some, you know, standardized ones that we can offer, but not at the same time. They're unique. So I agree with David in that, yes, we would do that and share those, but not when we're doing the reading.
Not when we're doing the reading.
Yeah.
And each of us is a unique entity, a unique being that comes with a lot of conditioning, and then we come together in a shared knowledge, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
We know we're in the same country with each other, and at that point, we can begin to share, but it's tough to say it in words and not don't let it go into your mentation and the linearity of it. This is broader than that. And before we, you know, we don't have much time. We had a big introduction that was wonderful. But I want to focus on the first two paragraphs of this, first two verses of this book. And I wanted to get your feedback, everybody's feedback on this. And he goes, I am he who sees not through the eyes, but through divine knowledge. I'm the seer. There is no limit to my seeing, no sight which escapes the divine eye.
That's it.
What is this? What is this?
Well, do you have a dollar in your pocket?
I do.
Have you ever looked at the picture?
Yes, I have.
And does it take you somewhere other than monetary?
It does.
So the divine eye is not just a representation. It is also a doorway. It's not just the picture of the thing. It is also the manner in which you can access it. A divine eye indicates that it is there, first of all, in case you weren't aware of that. Divine eye is there. Secondly, divine eye is active. It has qualities, and it states these qualities right there. Seen and knowledge. So it names the characteristics of that divineness of I, and it names it as if it were a bodily sense, like your eye. And if you extrapolate from your sight to your knowing, you have a place to start walking.
That's right.
You didn't think I was going to get there, did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, I didn't know I was going.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
What hit me when I read it is that, and I put it into the email a bit, is that everything, in a sense, is recorded. Everything we do is recorded in one way or another.
Yeah.
We are seen. Yeah. And this is saying you are seen, so you are being seen, but in a divine manner, you are being seen. I see you. I see you. And there's a profundity to that, because suddenly it's a divine individual that is before us.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So Sean says, that was great. It felt more real and relevant by repeating that phrase. Very clear explanations on visualization. Thanks. Very clear.
Good.
And about the divine eye, I think we just covered that on our reading of Norton Street, didn't we? Where Bornless is complaining that he can see everything. He can see out the back of his head. He doesn't even need to use his eyes. And says, if I can see everything, why do I keep losing myself in the creation?
Right.
That's a good reference for people. Yeah.
So last time, I think it was in book 19, the beginning, El Asami, it is I who hear all sounds. We are heard, we are seen, and all is recorded. Now, in our Western Christian, Judeo-Christian mindset that almost all of us have, we bring, and when we hear something like that, we think, oh, they hear all of our sins.
Oh,
they see all of my sins.
Yeah, yeah, we color this. We've colored it.
And that's a form of ego. It's actually an ego to define your petty jealousies or your little ego manipulations as a sin. It just is as it is, because at the same time, your unheralded, unnoticed, heroic acts are also seen.
That's right. Being seen is not like having somebody tote up the goods and the bad.
No.
Being seen is standing bare naked in front of that which can see imperceptibly and totally objectively. That's a different experience. A
very different experience. And so then, and EJ is telling us through these books here, as he's going on, he goes, okay, you're going to be hit here by this guy,
and the green guide will come along and help you out a little bit. But six says, and in order to avoid being reborn in the worlds of matter and space, you must now recognize
yep.
the perceptions you see before you as in reality this shining luminous void, and thus become aware of the real meaning behind the images that you see now before you. And then there's this idea of being hunted down and being thrown into the visualizations and whatnot. And then you go to the prayer in 10. And then in 11 he goes, and now you are upon the great threshold between involution and evolution, between the high and the low. And if you fall into sleep now, even for a single moment, you shall be reborn without choice. And so it's not like you're good or bad.
No.
It's just a factual thing. If you get caught into the sleep mechanism, you just have no choice.
And?
You're at that moment of no choice. How do we increase our choice?
We take risk. We offer to pay it forward.
Yeah.
We do a number of things which we already have in our tool belt.
That's right.
And we apply that. Suffering is the price one pays for ignorance, and freedom is the reward for courage. Take your choice. It's your choice to make. Is the last sentence in that particular commentary
reading.
From the three conscious
yeah.
acts of humanity.
So take your choice.
Take your choice.
So tonight, tomorrow, as the day dawns, or wherever you are in the world that you're listening to this, you're going to go out into the day, make the choice then and there to be courageous.
Correct.
And you're going to say, well, I'm not a courageous person. Well, where did you get that idea? Where did you get that? Where did that come from? What do you mean?
Yeah.
But it's a dialogue of what comes from within you
mm-hmm.
now. You have a choice of actually activating at this time.
Yeah, because it states here, in 12. And if your consciousness is concentrated upon the nature of the form of the guide of the world of transit, that is a huge chunk. What is the nature of the form of the guide? By definition, a form is illusion. It is phenomena, so the nature of the form is phenomena, and it's the guide of the world of transit. The world of transit has a guide
yep.
that is phenomenal in the non-phenomenal experience of transit. Put your brain into that one for a few moments, and upon the teaching. So the two things are juxtapositioned. If you concentrate your consciousness on the nature of the form of the guide of the world of transit and upon the teaching. Just, you know, this is what happened for me. You can do... You can have both air and sound. You can have just air. You can have just sound. So put your consciousness on both. The nature of the form of the guide and upon the teaching, liberation can be attained. Even now, although all opportunity seems to have been lost. I think that is a very direct instruction. Yes.
Sean asks, can I start off wearing Speedos instead of naked?
That's a great comment. I think it was just in the comment that we were seeing, and you said we seem totally naked.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I...
Yes.
The answer is...
We all do preserve ourselves.
You give it your best shot, buddy. Okay.
Well, this was Adam's dilemma, wasn't it?
Adam's dilemma, yes, of course. How do I appear in front of God who created me without hiding my nakedness? Yes.
And so when the eating from the tree of knowledge, suddenly that created an issue, and then suddenly they saw themselves and they saw their nakedness. Before it was just an objective, it was nothing, it was just a fact.
Yeah, there was no separateness.
There was no distinction, and then it became a distinction. The point is to practice the work of transit. And at first you're going to bring whatever you can bring to it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're practicing it. You bring a little bit. You go to get a cup of coffee or some tea or something like that, practice that you understand that that's a moment of transit right then and there. You're sitting there talking to a work colleague or a customer or a client. That's a moment of transit for them also.
Correct.
For them as well. And if you can hold the space, they have an extra chance at that moment. So, can you wear your Speedos, put on a big fur coat if you need to, but just start practicing?
Whatever gets you going.
Whatever gets you going. Put yourself in the mix. Once you put yourself in the mix, you're practicing courage.
Yes.
And if that's the case, you might have a chance at developing choice.
Well, that took us somewhere.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
So, fun stuff. What else? Yes.
So 11.
Yes, ma'am. Hang on one quick second, please. Mr. Phone Man, help us with our communication here.
Communication
device. Communicate.
So the 11, the lines really, put me in a place of, it's like a great threshold between involution and evolution, between the high and the low. And if you fall into sleep now, even for a single moment, you shall be reborn without choice. So there is a moment of freedom in all this.
Absolutely, a moment of being
exactly
well put.
Right.
Well put.
But it's very, very, very
delicate.
Yeah. Subtle. Yes.
You need to make a sound anyway.
Right.
Which can be done.
In the sleep of the machine, which when we get back to HBM again,
yeah,
in the sleep of the machine, we react to things. We react. Things happen in the world and we react. And because of the nature of our nature and because of the chronic and all these things, we react by going deeper into sleep. The hope in reading the ABD and reading through the guidebook is that when we are hit with the winds of transit, the
that our reaction is to hold consciousness.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a signal.
It's building up the other habit.
Yeah.
The transit habit, the non-phenomenal habit. What shall be my response at the moment of my death? Well, I think I'll write out the crown awake.
Well, we see in it's more detailed really in the ABD about seeking refuge.
Yes.
And now I will seek refuge in the soft green light,
yes,
or whatever it is.
Yes.
And so the key is that when we are at this, as you said in the very first part, now you are upon the great threshold.
Yes.
So the great threshold is this threshold of transit, and how do we respond to that? Well, if you go to sleep, you have no choices.
Mm-hmm.
But in 12 it says, but if you didn't,
if you did not go to sleep, if you concentrated your consciousness on the nature of the form of the guide of the transit world and the teaching. So the other thing that David has mentioned a couple of times here is that the opportunity is present in every moment to pay attention to the moment as if you were in transit, to build the habit to respond the way you will choose to respond in transit. That is another ongoing practice. But through all the texts, it's called act as if.
Act as if. Act as if until you know. Okay? Because, anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Well, a few minutes ago, Sean Sun wrote, practice the moment of transit.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we'll
perfect.
Do you exactly.
Thank you.
Practice the moment of transit.
Yeah.
And what if you go in, like some people maybe go to Starbucks during the afternoon and get a cup of tea in a double cup or something. And that's a kind of prosaic. I mean, that's just a regular mechanical thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that right, George?
That's right.
Just millions of people during the day do that. They go in, they say, give me a cup of tea, and they pay their bill to the cashier, and on they go.
Yes.
But what if that mm-hmm. was the moment of the great threshold?
Yes.
What if that was the moment right then, and that's who was with you? Those storytellers in that space,
mm-hmm.
they looked like cashiers. They looked like people pouring you a tea, but in fact, they were guides that were there. Surprise yourself with courage. Surprise yourself with courage tomorrow. And paint the new canvas that is offered to us every day. Every day.
Every moment.
And it was said to me recently, don't forget the bright colors. How do you like that one?
I approve.
I approve. So.
Bright colors, hooray. Oh, my goodness.
That was book 20.
Yeah. That's quite an eyeful, to put it in context.
So, anyway, that's we're a little bit late, but thank you for coming. That's Wednesday night, and we'll look forward to seeing you
next Wednesday
at 7 o'clock. Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks everybody for coming. Take care.
Thanks. Thanks, Dave and Pat. I thought I recognized the guides tonight right there in front.
Oh.
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much for being there.
For sure.